It's time once again here on RNIB Connect Radio to catch up with Vidar Yarding, MBE, Inclusion and Diversity Consultant for ITV News across England, Wales, Northern Ireland and the Channel Islands, for the next in his regular audio-described theatre reviews. Welcome back to RNIB Connect Radio, Vidar.
Thank you very much, Toby. Nice to be talking with you again.
This week we have a story of connections between friends, families and strangers with the Nottingham Playhouse adaptation of The Beekeeper of Aleppo as the touring production visited the Birmingham Repertory Theatre. Vidar, how did you find this, I suppose, very timely adaptation of maybe a harrowing journey of this Syrian refugee couple in The Beekeeper of Aleppo?
Referred, Toby, there to the harrowing journey of the beekeeper, and I think probably the two words I would use to describe the performance from my perspective anyway are powerful and poignant. It was a very compelling production. I'd not read the book, although having now seen the stage dramatization, I am encouraged to read the book. I'd like to do so. I think it was produced in 2019. It was a very gripping play, very compelling, very thought-provoking as well, and as you say, rightly, very timely. So all of those reasons made it a really interesting show to watch.
And there was a very clever set by Ruby Pugh, which depicts everything from war-torn Syria to the sort of cramped boats on which the refugees made that harrowing ocean sort of journey. How did you find the description of the set, and did it sort of place you on the boat with those refugees?
Well, that's a really good question. And firstly, I should say that because I went to listen to the dry run of the audio description, I'll come back to that point in a moment, there wasn't an actual touch tour on that particular evening. There may have been for the actual AD performance proper, if I can call it that, a couple of days later. But nonetheless, even though there wasn't a touch tour where, for those who don't necessarily know, you would get a real chance to inspect close up the props, the set, etc., Julia Grundy, who was providing the audio description on this occasion, was very, very good in her opening pre-show notes to paint a picture in words around the set and try and bring that to life so that when the show started, you were aware that it, well, I mean, I think you're probably aware anyway, but you were even more aware that it was going to be a poignant and a moving production. And certainly I felt that the description, you know, definitely gave you that context in which to go on and listen to. And I will use the word enjoy, although perhaps the subject matter might not in itself lead you to think that enjoyment is the word you should use. But because it was such a rounded production and a moving production, we came away lots to think about, lots to talk about. And yes, I would say perhaps enjoyed it as well.
And the interesting thing is, of course, the story centres around the couple Nure and Afrey. And I don't think it's giving too much away to say that Afrey was blinded by a bomb in Syria. And I wondered, Vidar, whether having a main character who is blinded, does that bring us closer to the play as blind and partially sighted theatre goers?
I would say it possibly, arguably does, but I would also say that that is because it was almost, it was obviously a key part of the plot, but it wasn't a part of the plot that was, if you like, shoehorned in. It was very natural. I won't say incidental to the story, because clearly it had been thought through, but it was a part of her character that fitted into the overall picture, and it had its own related story and poignancy as well. But I think it was very, very natural is the way I would use it, if that makes sense.
No, and I think it's very interesting, because obviously there's a lot of talk around at the moment about how disabled and blind and partially sighted people are depicted on stage, and you know, sort of whether they should be played by disabled or blind or partially sighted actors. And of course, you know, ideally that would be the case. But I think it's very interesting to see how sighted and able-bodied actors play disabled and blind and partially sighted characters, and whether they get it right or whether they get it wrong, and whether, you know, sort of their depiction is a distraction or not. But I think, as you say, in Beekeeper of Aleppo, it was seen to be very much sort of, I suppose, a part of the play, but it didn't distract from the play in a way, if you get what I'm trying to get at.
Exactly. It was part of the storyline, part of the characterization, but in its own way, no, it was just one dimension to the overall product, if you like.
Yeah, and I think that's very, very true. And this is a very timely play. And did you sort of come away thinking more about what's happening in Syria at the moment?
Yeah, and this isn't to sound crass or insensitive, I hope, in any way, but I had a, shall we say, difficult rail journey the previous day, which took a lot longer than I was expecting it to, through nobody's fault, I might add. It was just one of those things. And connections weren't meeting up and all the rest of it, and I got home a lot later than I thought, and at the time I was thinking, oh, you know, this is not good. And you know, sitting watching this play the following evening, listening to Julia describing it, I suddenly thought, you know, it does give you a real perspective on what is important, what is harrowing, what does matter in life. And yeah, I think it made me think that actually, you know, sometimes we get things out of proportion in our own lives compared to some of the challenges and traumatic situations that others in the world find themselves in, as depicted very sensitively and very carefully in this particular production.
Vidar, I think Julia was doing a dry run, and I think it's something that many blind and partially sighted theatregoers might not realise, that the describers do a dry run of their audio-described performances.
Absolutely, Toby, and as part of their meticulous preparation, so they write a script, they obviously work on making sure that the carefully crafted script doesn't clash with the dialogue, or in the case of a musical or the opera, lyrics, etc. And then they go to the theatre and, as you say, try it out for real in an audio-described dry run. And that, often when there are two people doing a dry run, in this case there weren't, but there often are, each of the describers listens to the other's description, and they make notes afterwards, and they dot the I's and cross the T's. What I would say on this occasion is that had I not known that Julia was doing a dry run or a rehearsal, if you want to put it that way, you wouldn't have been able to tell, because it was meticulously done, and I found it exceptionally helpful, as always. So worth just making that point. But I think it's, as you say, Toby, worth highlighting that there's a lot of hard work that goes into ultimately providing first-class audio description.
Well, if you'd like to see The Beekeeper of Aleppo, the production continues on tour around the country, and I would say the best way to find out details of performance times and dates and venues would be to go online and search for The Beekeeper of Aleppo and maybe the name of your nearest theatre. Next time, Vidar, you'll be reviewing Dave John's stage production of I, Daniel Blake.
Indeed I will. It's a play I haven't seen perform before. It's had a lot of coverage, and it's a title with which I'm familiar, and I feel as if I've seen it before, but I haven't. So very much looking forward to sharing that with you and listeners next time we talk, Toby.
Well, as always, thank you very much indeed, Vidar, for sharing your audio-described review of The Beekeeper of Aleppo at the Birmingham Repertory Theatre with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks, Toby.